Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
She'd always been the kind of person who noticed things other people didn't. As a child, she couldn't explain it. Certain places simply felt different. Some rooms made her uneasy the moment she walked into them, while others felt perfectly normal. Her parents chalked it up to an active imagination, and for the most part, she accepted that explanation. She never claimed to see ghosts, never talked about imaginary friends, and never tried to convince anyone their house was haunted. There were simply moments when she'd hear something no one else seemed to notice or catch a glimpse of movement that disappeared before she could get a second look. The house where she grew up only seemed to reinforce those feelings. It was a comfortable two-story home on a quiet residential street where neighbors knew each other and children spent their summers riding bikes until the streetlights came on. Nothing about the house suggested it had a history. It wasn't particularly old, and as far as anyone knew, nothing tragic had ever happened there. Even so, she never liked being upstairs alone after dark. Her bedroom was at one end of the hallway, her sister's room across from it, and there was something about that stretch of hallway that always made her feel as though she was being watched. For years, nothing ever happened. She'd hurry from the bathroom back to her room at night, close the door behind her, and laugh at herself for being nervous. Eventually, she convinced herself she was simply an anxious kid who'd seen one too many scary movies. Then, when she was around 12 years old, something happened that refused to fit that explanation. She woke suddenly in the middle of the night without knowing why. The house was completely silent, yet she had the unmistakable feeling that someone else was awake. As she looked toward her bedroom door, she saw a man standing in the hallway. At first, she assumed someone had broken into the house. The figure was tall and broad-shouldered, dressed entirely in black leather riding gear, with a full motorcycle helmet covering his face. There wasn't a single feature she could make out behind the dark visor. He stood perfectly still for several seconds before slowly raising one gloved finger, pressing it where his lips would have been. In a quiet gesture for her to remain silent. She couldn't move. Without another sound, the figure turned and walked calmly down the hallway toward the front of the house. A second later, she heard what sounded exactly like a motorcycle engine roaring to life outside. The sound startled her into action. She ran to the window, expecting to see someone pulling away from the curb, but the street was empty. There were no headlights disappearing into the distance, no taillights turning the corner, and no motorcycle anywhere in sight. By the time she climbed back into bed, she'd almost convinced herself she'd dreamed the entire thing. Over breakfast the next morning, she casually mentioned the strange dream to her parents. They smiled, assured her she'd probably been half asleep, and before long she accepted their explanation. Children had vivid dreams. It wasn't worth dwelling on. Years later, however, an unexpected conversation brought the memory rushing back. Her mother happened to learn from a longtime neighbor that the family who'd lived in the house before them had lost an adult son in a motorcycle accident. He'd still been living at home at the time of his death, and according to the neighbor, the bedroom he'd used was now her sister's room. The story immediately reminded her of the figure she'd seen standing outside that very room. She never mentioned it to anyone. The timing alone would have made it sound as though she'd invented the memory after hearing about the accident, and she wasn't interested in convincing people she'd seen a ghost. Even she wasn't sure what she'd believed anymore. It seemed much easier to file it away as one of those strange childhood experiences that never made complete sense. Life moved on. She graduated, got married, and before long, she and her husband bought a small house less than 10 minutes from where she'd grown up. It wasn't their dream home, but they were excited to have a place of their own. They spent weekends painting, unpacking boxes, and figuring out where furniture should go. For the first couple of months, everything felt perfectly normal, and she quietly wondered if leaving her childhood home behind had also left those strange experiences behind. Then they decided to buy a camera for their dogs. The purchase had nothing to do with anything paranormal. Like a lot of new pet owners, they simply wanted to check on the dogs while they were at work. The camera overlooked the living room where the dog stayed during the day, and most of the time the footage was exactly what you'd expect. Two dogs sleeping, occasionally changing positions or barking when someone walked past the front window. One afternoon, she happened to be showing the live feed to her aunt while they were talking. As they watched, a dark figure entered the frame. It wasn't transparent or wispy like something from a horror movie. It looked solid, like the outline of an ordinary man walking calmly through the living room. The figure seemed to emerge from the wall, crossed directly in front of the dog's kennels, and continued toward the staircase before disappearing from view. Neither of them said anything at first. They were still trying to make sense of what they'd seen when both dogs suddenly jumped to their feet. Their heads turned in perfect unison, tracking the same path the figure had taken across the room. When whatever they were watching reached the staircase, both dogs erupted into frantic barking while backing away from the bottom step. She replayed the recording again and again over the next several days. She looked for reflections in the window, glitches in the video, or anything that might explain the strange shape crossing the room. Every explanation seemed possible until she remembered the dogs. They hadn't reacted randomly. Their eyes had followed something moving across the room before they began barking at the exact spot where the figure had disappeared. That was the first time she allowed herself to wonder if what she'd experienced as a child and what she'd just witnessed on the camera might somehow be connected. One detail, however, bothered her more than all the others. The figure on the camera wasn't the man she'd seen in the hallway years before. It was someone else entirely. The camera footage became one of those things she couldn't quite let go of. For several days, she replayed it every chance she had, convinced that if she watched it enough times, she'd eventually notice the ordinary explanation she'd missed the first dozen times. She adjusted the brightness, paused the video frame by frame, and even looked outside at different times of day to see if sunlight or passing cars could have created an unusual reflection. The image never changed. Neither did the dog's reaction. They hadn't simply barked at a random noise. Both of them had watched something move across the room before stopping at the base of the staircase and refusing to look away. Eventually, she stopped watching the recording, not because she'd found an explanation, but because she realized she wasn't getting any closer to one. For a while, life returned to normal. She and her husband settled into the routines of work, weekends, and taking care of the house. If anything unusual happened, it was easy enough to dismiss. Then one of the dogs developed a habit neither of them could explain. Every evening, just before bedtime, she'd stop at the bottom of the staircase and stare toward the second floor. Sometimes she'd whine softly. Other nights, she'd simply stand there with her ears laid back, refusing to move. No amount of calling or coaxing made any difference. She would only climb the stairs if her husband walked ahead of her, and even then she stayed pressed tightly against his legs until they reached the top. At first, they laughed about it. Dogs were strange sometimes, and they assumed she'd become nervous after hearing a noise upstairs one night. Weeks passed, though, and nothing changed. It became so predictable that they both noticed it without saying much about it. Around that same time, she began hearing voices. They were never loud enough to interrupt whatever she was doing, and she could never make out every word. Most often, they sounded like an older man and woman having a quiet disagreement somewhere nearby. She'd hear them while folding laundry or making dinner, and every single time she'd stop what she was doing and look out the windows, expecting to find neighbors talking outside. The neighborhood would be completely still. The first few times it happened, she assumed the sound had drifted over from another street. After all, voices could carry farther than people realized, especially on cool evenings. But the more often it happened, the less convincing that explanation became. The conversations always seemed close enough that she should have been able to see whoever was speaking. One afternoon, she was standing in the kitchen when it happened again. The voices seemed to be coming from somewhere inside the house rather than outside it. She stood perfectly still, trying to determine where they were coming from, and slowly turned toward the sound. The conversation stopped so abruptly that the silence itself caught her attention. A moment later, she heard a single voice, much quieter than before, gently cautioning the other that she'd noticed them. The words weren't shouted. They weren't whispered dramatically. They sounded like two people who hadn't realized someone else was listening. She stood in the kitchen for several minutes before finally convincing herself she must have misunderstood what she'd heard. She never mentioned that experience to her husband. By then, she'd already told him about the camera footage more than once, and while he'd never made fun of her, she knew he was searching for practical explanations just as hard as she was. She didn't want to become the person who blamed every unexplained sound on ghosts, so she kept most of those experiences to herself. Not long afterward, they found out they were expecting their first child. Like most first-time parents, they threw themselves into getting ready. The spare bedroom became a nursery almost overnight. They painted the walls, assembled the crib, and spent evenings trying to decide where everything should go. The excitement of preparing for a baby gradually pushed everything else into the background. And for several months, she hardly thought about the strange things that had happened. After their daughter was born, life revolved around feedings, diapers, and trying to catch a few hours of sleep whenever they could. Looking back, she admits those first months were a blur. She was exhausted almost all the time, and she understood that exhaustion could play tricks on a person's mind. That's why she ignored the first few incidents. The baby's mobile would occasionally be turning when she glanced at the monitor, even though there wasn't a vent nearby and every window in the room was closed. She assumed she'd simply missed it slowing down after someone had bumped the crib. Then she started noticing shadows crossing the room. They never stayed long enough for her to identify them. A dark shape would pass through the nursery, usually moving from the direction of the closet toward the crib, and disappear before she could get a good look. Every time she hurried into the room, everything looked perfectly normal. Her daughter would still be asleep, nothing would be out of place, and the nursery would be exactly as she'd left it. She told herself the monitor had to be the problem. Consumer cameras weren't perfect. They distorted light, dropped frames, and sometimes created strange images when the room was dark. She accepted that explanation. Until the afternoon, she glanced at the monitor while putting away laundry. For just a moment, she saw what looked like a hand gently brushing across her daughter's hair. She didn't stop to think about what she'd seen. She ran. By the time she reached the nursery, the room was empty. Her daughter was sleeping peacefully, and there wasn't the slightest sign that anyone else had been there. She searched anyway, opening the closet, checking behind the curtains, and looking under the crib before finally walking back into the hallway, feeling more unsettled than ever. After that, the nursery slowly became the room she dreaded most. Small toys she'd carefully picked up would somehow end up scattered across the floor. Soft tapping sounds occasionally came from inside the closet after dark, always quiet enough to make her wonder if she'd imagined them. More than once, she found herself standing outside the nursery door with her hand on the knob, taking a deep breath before walking inside because she couldn't shake the feeling that someone else was already in the room. Without making a big production out of it, she ordered a wooden cross carved from olive wood in Bethlehem and hung it above the crib. She never claimed it would solve anything. She simply hoped it might bring her a little peace of mind. Instead, the moment that finally convinced her something was wrong came from the one person in the house too young to explain it. Late one night, her daughter woke screaming in a way she'd never heard before. She rushed into the nursery and picked her up immediately, expecting to find a fever, a nightmare, or some ordinary reason for the panic. Instead, She noticed that every time the little girl turned toward the closet, she'd bury her face against her mother's shoulder and begin crying even harder. Standing there in the middle of the nursery trying to calm her terrified daughter, she realized she'd run out of ordinary explanations. For the first time since all of it had begun, she wondered if it was finally time to ask someone else for help. They talked about it for several days before finally contacting a local paranormal investigation team. Neither of them expected dramatic answers. More than anything, they hoped someone else might be able to explain what had been happening in their home. The investigators spent an evening going through every room with cameras, audio recorders, and equipment she'd never seen before. They asked questions in empty rooms, sat quietly for long stretches, listening for unusual sounds, and documented anything they couldn't immediately explain. The investigation itself wasn't especially dramatic. There were no objects flying across the room or terrifying apparitions. But when they reviewed the evidence, a few things stood out. A recorder captured a loud thump almost immediately after. One investigator asked for a sign that anyone was present. During another session, several responses came through a spirit box that seemed to identify members of the team by name. None of it proved anything, but it was enough that the investigators didn't dismiss what she'd been experiencing. A few days later, the lead investigator called to discuss the case. Instead of talking about the house, he wanted to know about her. He asked whether she'd ever experienced anything unusual before moving there. She found herself telling him about the man in the motorcycle helmet she'd seen as a child, the uneasy feeling she'd carried from house to house, and the strange figure she'd watched walk across her living room years earlier while both of her dogs followed it with their eyes. By the time the conversation ended, she described nearly every unexplained experience she'd ever had. His conclusion wasn't what she'd expected. Based on everything she'd shared, he didn't believe the activity was connected to the house at all. Too many of the experiences had happened years before she ever lived there, and they'd continued in different places throughout her life. In his opinion, the common denominator wasn't the location. It was her. She wasn't sure whether that idea made her feel better or worse. For several weeks after the investigation, the house seemed quieter. The nursery felt less oppressive, and she allowed herself to believe perhaps things were finally settling down. Then, about 2 months later, she was lifting her daughter from the crib when one of the dogs standing in the hallway let out a low growl. The sound made her glance toward the bedroom mirror. Reflected in the glass standing beside her side of the bed was a man she'd never seen before. Unlike the shadowy figures she'd experienced in the past, this man appeared almost completely solid. He had reddish hair pulled back into a ponytail and wore clothing that looked strangely out of another era, olive-colored pants, a faded shirt, and a burgundy vest. For a few seconds, he simply stood there looking down at the bed, as though unaware anyone could see him. Then he slowly raised his head, where his eyes should have been. There were only two empty black spaces. She blinked, and the reflection was empty. She hasn't seen that figure again, but she isn't convinced whatever has followed her throughout her life is gone. Every now and then, she'll catch herself looking toward the staircase, overcome by the familiar feeling that someone is quietly standing just beyond where she can see. Maybe all of it can still be explained. She'd like to believe that. But every explanation eventually leads back to the same conclusion the investigator reached after hearing her story. The houses were never the one constant, and she was.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.